Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, the 26th of September, 2013. We are live here on KVOI AM 1030, 1204 to 1 each weekday on Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We're live streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we post the program, making it a podcast that's very easy for you to check us out anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com all have the podcast. Coming up during the Thursday noon hour, City of Tucson voters will be deciding on two measures on the November ballot. Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham will give us a quick overview and a rundown of what's at stake. 20 minutes past the hour, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona preparing for its Mosey with Mutts event this Saturday. 30 minutes past the hour, New York Times bestselling writer J.A. Jantz joins us. Judy will be talking about her new novel about the Vietnam era. Then we'll wrap up the show with good news about new discovery nights and extended hours at Biosphere 2 in Oracle. If you have a question or comment, we invite you to join us on the Buckmaster Show live line. That number is 790-2040. And we also invite you to join us on Facebook. Become a friend of the Buckmaster Show. We're pushing toward, we hope, 3,000 friends to celebrate our three-year anniversary of this program, which will be on January the 3rd. Thank you, Rose, for helping me out there. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Councilman, how are you this Thursday afternoon?
I'm doing great. Good afternoon. How are you, Bill?
Doing very well. There are two measures on the ballot. Can you give us a quick overview? What's at stake here, Paul?
Yeah, one of them is to plan Tucson. It's a state requirement. That is going to be numero 402 on the ballot. It's basically a city general plan, which is it's not really a blueprint, but it's a concept print of what a city's going to do. Sometimes we use it for neighborhood planning and for the zoning process. A lot of times it's just kind of a group of philosophies. Sometimes there's abilities to deviate it, but it is a requirement of state law to have this blueprint in place that it basically reflects the values of the community, what you want, everything from neighborhood uses to road planning to philosophies on sustainability and natural resources and food supply. All that is covered in this type of document. When we were running through this document over the last year and a half, there was a lot of different input. It was a very large collaborative process. I got to hand it to city staff who did a great job of getting as many stakeholders as they could to the table and exhaustively met with everyone they could. And when we voted on July 9th, we had the Sierra Club and the Metropolitan Team Alliance. We had SAVA and we had the Chamber of Commerce along with the Sonoran Desert Coalition. I mean, everybody was singing Kumbaya. I'm optimistic about the outcome of it because a lot of folks didn't think we were going to get to some type of collaborative thing. Look, it's not the Bible. We can always deviate from it, but it will make sense for Tucson. And I'm proud of the effort that the community had. It was a real neat thing on July 9th when we voted on it, to put it on the ballot, that all the different stakeholders who usually are locking horns were all together and agreed that this was, you know, not everybody's super, nobody's getting everything they want, and everybody has different objections to different pieces, but overall, it's a living document, everybody approves. I have not received one email against the general plan since I took office. That might have changed today because there was somebody at my town hall last night who was not happy with it, but I haven't received any negative feedback up until that point. So, again, I think it's a step in the right direction. It shows the collaborative part of Tucson. It shows the civil part of Tucson, and I think it's a document that Tucsonans will be proud of for years to come.
I was just going to say it looks like this has a lot of support. Is that what you think?
It's very unilateral. Again, like I said, I haven't heard any individual support, and I any of the stakeholder communities. I'm talking about all the different groups that we talk to, everybody from Tucson Association of Realtors and the Chamber to the other side, Sierra Club, Greenpeace, the unions. Everyone has kind of said, hey, this looks like it's good to go. So I'm real proud of everybody who worked so hard. The other end is, the second one is the adjustment. And that's our, that's to increase what our total revenues are. Now look, a lot of people are going to say this is a tax increase or something. It's nothing like that. Basically, we have a total nut, of spending that we're allowed to do. And there's a limit set on it. It's a limit that was set in 1980. And as Tucson has grown over the years, we need to be allowed to outgrow that limit. And that's all this is about, expanding that limit. And it's basically updating something that's 33 years old. So for me, I think that's probably a good step in the right direction. I'm not saying that we should increase spending by any means, but we may have to in 5, 6, 7 years. And if that's necessary, then we probably need this adjustment. So that's it's basically a housekeeping, a mechanical thing that this community wants to do. And it's really a decision on what kind of community we want to have. Are we going to have well-funded police and fire? Are we going to have roads that get fixed? Are we going to have parks? Are we going to have programs at parks and parks and recreation? And all those things are funded through ostensibly the general fund and some of our bonds, some of the money we borrow, but it's all one big pot, and there's a limit to it unless we can get this adjustment through. So that's what 401 is all about.
Okay, so that's 401 and 402 on the city of Tucson ballot. Let's move on about the downtown transit center. You and Councilman Steve Kasachek voted no. The vote was 5-4 to this plan that could alter downtown transit center, so it's moving forward. What's this all about?
Everyone agrees that parcel, most developers agree that parcel is prime for development. It's a valuable parcel. It's a city-owned parcel. And I agree with that. And a lot of people agree that we need to improve the transit center and, you know, maybe get some air-conditioned bathrooms and toilet paper and a better information board, an information center for the people who ride transit, and maybe even help the ingress-egress situation. Everybody agrees on that. But what we don't agree on is how to do it. And the issue that I have with this particular project is I'm really scared that if we move forward in the manner that we're moving in now, we're going to be right down the road of another $40 million hole in the ground. If we move in the manner we move now, we're going to be stuck with $10 million worth of drawings and no earth moved and nothing rebuilt. I think we need to back up, reassess, bring the right people to the table, and make sure that they know we're all on the same page, because we really are, but the communication isn't there. We're really trying. I mean, I think Corky Poster did a decent job making an effort to try to get everybody involved, but there's some communication breakdown here. And if we're going to be in a situation where we're going to be losing money on a land deal as a city or as a municipal corporation, we're going to be losing money on a land deal on the most valuable piece of property we have. I don't want to be a part of it. So that's why I walked away. Right now, that's what I think what we're doomed for. And until you can convince me otherwise, I'm not going to support this redevelopment. Until philosophically, I support it. But right now, I think there are way too many stipulations and complications that make this project not viable, and that we are going to have to, we're going to be stuck with change orders and discussion of other discussion, and we're going to be mired in red tape, federal red tape, with some FTA regulations that are involved. And I think that that we may not want to go down this road. So I'm saying we need to walk away from this ASAP.
And the members of the Tucson Bus Riders Union have accused the council of betrayal after it voted to move forward with this plan.
I can't speak for the Bus Riders Union. I don't think that's true at all. I think everybody on the council has good intentions here. I think that's uber ridiculous to think that people are backstabbing or anything like that. That just doesn't make any sense to me. What makes sense to me is that we're really trying to do our due diligence here, but the problem is, and this is where I disagree with my colleagues, is that even though we're trying, our intentions are filled with the best intentions, and usually they are, The problem that I have is that this situation could blow up in our face and we could be stuck in a situation where we're paying millions of dollars to consultants and architects again. And we remember what that was like 10 years ago, and I'm not doing it again. And if it looks like it, I'm not going down that road, period.
By the way, are you at a school by chance?
I am.
I thought I heard kids playing in the background there.
I am a PE teacher now.
You're a PE teacher?
I'm a PE teacher. And that's what I do as my day job when I don't have my city council suit on. So I might need to get back to class and get back to work. But I wanted to thank you for giving me the time today.
Let me give you a minute more here, Paul Cunningham. The Attorney General, perhaps you saw this news today in the Star, says the city of Tucson, the two new gun laws are unenforceable.
Well, I think, again, we wrote Jenna's law so that it abided by state law. We went through painstaking efforts to do that, so I'm a little surprised by the Attorney General's thing. The only thing I can think of is that he's doing this to shore up his base for his primary challenge next November, and that's my guess. But again, I can't speak for the man. I don't know him personally, but what I do know is that it makes really no sense what he did. It's kind of a lame move.
Have you ever met Tom Horn personally? Or?
Never. Have no idea. Wouldn't know him coming or going, man. All I know is that I can't even understand. I don't even know why he's wasting his time on this.
All right. Paul Cunningham, thank you for taking a break during your lunch hour there at school to speak with our listeners about Proposition 401 and Prop 402 on the City of Tucson ballot in November. Thank you very much, Paul.
Bill, thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAmobility.com or Facebook.
Under the glowing glass of brilliant light, experience UA Biosphere 2 Discovery Nights. For the first time ever, premiering the wonders of Biosphere 2 at night with extended hours. Beginning Saturday, September 28th, join us for five straight Saturday nights for an exciting family adventure with activities that promote curiosity and creativity. Receive a free annual pass with nighttime adult admission. Kids 12 and under are free. Limit 2 per adult. Visit b2science.org for more event details.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
It's Mariachi Fiesta with Los Changuitos Feos, the original mariachi youth group. Saturday, September 28th at La Posada on Oracle. Browse the art show, stay for dinner and the concert, and support scholarships. Saturday, September 28th at La Posada on Oracle. For tax-deductible tickets, call 820-8121.
Sports. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees, but we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm, and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet, with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza.
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next-day professional installation.
A carrot cake.
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show brought to you by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You know, it has rained over there, which they had great monsoon rain. And what that means is the Gila National Forest has greened up. It is so beautiful right now over in Silver City, and it's a great weekend getaway. Three and a half hours. Pretty much head east on I-10, take a left at Lordsburg, go up about 40 miles to the mile-high elevation of Silver City. You will not regret it, believe me, a weekend over there. It's delightful. And this week, there's always something going on. And this weekend, it's the Southwest Festival of the Written Word, a literary festival in downtown historic Silver City. You can find out more about Southwest New Mexico and the great places to stay, including Lake Roberts Motel and Pinos Altos Cabins. Check out their website. It's southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Well, this weekend here in Tucson, lots of animal lovers, dog lovers, especially looking forward to the Mosey for Mutts event being staged by the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. From the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, Samantha Escoval joins us now. Sam, how are you?
I am great. How are you?
Doing real well. I know you're very excited, and you have a little friend. Tell the Buckmaster Show listeners, who is that little, adorable puppy?
Oh, you'd be surprised. This is a one-year-old Chihuahua, and her name is Jenny. And I brought her with me today because she needed a break from the shelter. She's tiny. She's sitting in my lap right now. She's perfectly fine.
And so well-behaved.
Well-behaved.
Unbelievable.
She's a chocolate Chihuahua, and I would guess she weighs about maybe a pound or two. What do you think?
Well, I had her in my arms, and talk about a loving animal.
Yes.
If anyone is thinking about an animal, I could strongly recommend this animal. And what makes this animal story even more special, this is a special needs animal.
Yeah, well, she does have three legs,
right,
which is very unusual, but she's coping just fine. She's like any other dog, any other Chihuahua, and she's really coping with it just fine. She's had no problems otherwise, and she just got her stitches out, and to be honest, she doesn't even really notice. It doesn't even phase her. She's still eating and sleeping and saying, give me attention more.
And what was the issue that led to the amputation?
So originally when she had come in, she had a very mangled leg, and we're not sure why or where it came from. But what ended up happening was we decided that maybe it could have been she was hit by a car, or she had a lot of bacteria in the area. So it was the best idea to remove the leg so the bacteria didn't spread.
Well, again, I want to emphasize this is such a well-behaved, young dog. It's just really a cute chihuahua, great coloring. And speaking of dogs, Mosey for Mutts is going to be a great event. Samantha, tell us a little bit about what is planned for Saturday at Reed Park.
Yeah, this is our first time that we are putting together a walk, the Humane Society, and we had a lot of sponsors step up. And it will take place this Saturday at 8 a.m., which is when we'll start moseying. Registration, if you haven't already done it, can be done at hssaz.org, or you could call the Humane Society. And if you aren't registered, you can also register at the actual event at 7 a.m., and we're going to start walking at 8. And the walk is about 2 miles, I'd say. It's not a super long walk, but it's just enough to enjoy the morning with your dog.
Where at Reed Park, where is everybody going to meet?
So everyone is going to meet on Country Club and 27th. Second in the event area center, and there's going to be a huge balloon bridge which will mark the start and finish of the walk, and we're pointing everybody there, and we'll also have signs located around the area just so it can give people pointers of where we're going to be.
Have these Mosey for Mutts events been carried out in other places that you know, or is this just something you guys came up with, this idea?
Well, it actually ended up coming up in a meeting, and this is the first time that we're doing it. Okay. And we thought, what is one way that we can incorporate exercise, the community, and their dogs? And this is a perfect opportunity because we're also going to have a lot of vendors out there, people who are associated with dogs and people not necessarily. And we're also going to have food trucks and music.
And there'll be water.
And there'll be water at lots of different stations. And there's also going to be water for dogs and people along the route as well.
Yeah, so it's going to be, there'll be water for two-legged and four-legged friends, and in the case of our chihuahua friend, three-legged.
Or three legs,
Three legs. What is the name of the chihuahua that you have?
Oh, yeah, her name is Jenny.
Jenny.
Yeah.
Okay, so if some of our listeners are interested in meeting Jenny, they could call the Humane Society?
Yep, 327-6088, and you can ask about Jenny. I let everyone at the shelter know I was bringing her on the show, so just in case she gets any calls, anyone who's there will be able to give you information about her.
She's so loving. I mean,
she's
well-mannered and gets around fine.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, the disability is just not a big issue with Jenny, the chihuahua. And so, I wanted to ask you about any specials that you have going on this month.
Well, right now,
this weekend or whatever.
We are running a special on cats. I don't know if you've heard, but we have had a lot of cats down at the Humane Society.
Yeah,
so
what's the deal with all the cats?
I couldn't tell you. And it's fall, so you think we'd be getting less, but we're getting more. And so we are having $10 for adult cats. Kittens will be $75 or 2 for $100. And dogs are going to be $25 for their adoption fee. And we'll also have adoptables out at Mosey for Mutts as well.
And the Mosey for Mutts is a fundraiser?
It is a fundraiser, and all of the proceeds are going directly back into the Humane Society. We are a nonprofit, so that means that events like this we really take advantage of because it's really what helps run the whole entire shelter.
You know, I think your satellite offices in the malls have really been a big success.
And you know what? They are, because about 40% of our adoptions come out of our satellite stores, and we have two, one at La Encantada and one at Park Place Mall, and we have a lot of merchandise, which is tax-free, and we have dogs and cats and pocket pets like gerbils and rabbits. So
tax-free on the merchandise?
Tax-free.
Hmm.
Yep. All the proceeds go directly back to the Humane Society, too.
And that's pretty much a lot of volunteers run the staff that, right?
Oh, man. If we didn't have our volunteers, I don't know what would happen. They are definitely a backbone to the organization. So we are so thankful for them. And a lot of them like to work at the offsite satellite stores or at the shelter or even at our events.
How is the Humane Society doing right now? I mean, overall, has it been a pretty good year?
It's been a great year. We're always struggling, though, in terms of financially, just because we want to make sure that we're getting sponsorships and that we're maintaining the quality of life for these animals. So it's always a struggle to remind everyone that we do need to spay and neuter our animals to cut down on this animal overpopulation.
Samantha Esquivel with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're talking about Mosey for Mutts, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona fundraiser, which should be a lot of fun at Reed Park in the Southwest event area. That is the place to go this Saturday morning. Registration beginning at 7. The walk, the moseying around will begin about 8. And for folks who are interested in the wonderful little chihuahua with three legs that we've been talking about here on the Buckmaster Show, you might, if you're thinking about a companion animal, you might want to take a look and meet Jenny, a real special animal. Beautiful markings, chocolate and beige, really, really cute dog. And again, the Rose, our wonderful producer, ace producer Rose, is saying, Bill, you need a dog. Well, I don't know how Princess, the Norwegian forest cat, would get along, but I'm telling you, Princess might be okay with this particular dog because this dog is so incredibly gentle and loving. And again, your number to find out more about Jenny.
327-6088.
All righty. Samantha, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us on.
Good luck with Saturday.
Thank you.
Coming up next on the Buckmaster Show, New York Times bestselling author J.A. Jantz, a huge supporter of the Humane Society. Judy is next.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The White House is not confirming that an agreement has been reached among the five permanent members of the Security Council on key elements of a resolution requiring Syria to give up its chemical weapons. For the second time in a week, a local al-Qaeda commander has been killed in northern Syria in clashes with Kurdish militiamen. In 5 days, Americans will be able to start signing up to buy health care coverage under Obamacare. But some Republicans in Congress not giving up, trying to delay or defund the president's signature health care law. Word today that baseball commissioner Bud Selig plans to retire in January of 2015. He made that clear in a statement issued today. On Wall Street, the Dow up 16 points, the Nasdaq ahead 17. More details at srnnews.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. J.A. Jantz, the top 10 New York Times best-selling author of the J.P. Beaumont series, the Joanna Brady series, the Allie Reynolds series for interrelated thrillers featuring the Walker family, and a book of poetry titled After the Fire, which, by the way, has just been reissued by William Morrow Publishers. Her books have more than 23 million copies in print. Judy's an avid crusader for many causes, including the American Cancer Society, the Humane Society, the YWCA, and the Girl Scouts. She's a lover of animals. Judy is has a rescued dachshund named Bella. Born in South Dakota and raised in Bisbee, Judy and her husband now divide their time between Seattle and Tucson. Judy Jantz's newest book is titled Second Watch, published by William Morrow. It's another thought-provoking novel of suspense starring Seattle investigator J.P. Beaumont. Judy Jantz joins me now in studio with Bonnie Abney. Bonnie, in 1966, was engaged to a young man named Doug Davis. Doug Davis, a graduate of Bisbee High School, was killed in a firefight in the Pleiku Highlands of Vietnam shortly before his 23rd birthday. West Point grad and Army Ranger, Second Lieutenant Doug Davis is the inspiration for Miss Jantz's newest novel. Judy and Bonnie, thank you both for being with us.
It's wonderful to be here.
It's wonderful to be here.
Thank you very much. Judy, I take it that Doug was a young man you greatly admired while you were attending Bisbee High School.
He was someone everyone at Bisbee High School looked up to because he was such a terrific guy. And when he was lost, it was Bonnie's loss, of course, but it was the world's loss as well.
And in Second Watch, your new novel, we meet a fictional version of Second Lieutenant Doug Davis serving as J.P. Beaumont's commanding officer in Vietnam.
Yes. The fictional part of that story is the J.P. Beaumont part, because the Doug Davis part is true based on what I learned from Bonnie, what I learned from letters written of condolence written by his commanding officer and fellow officers. And Doug was an unsung hero of that war, and it has been my honor to turn him into a sung hero.
Yes, a sung hero. Not get rid of the un, be a sung hero. Bonnie, I want to ask you, has this been a difficult time for you to reopen what certainly was a challenging chapter in your life?
I think that it has been difficult, particularly at the outset, to get back into these things. The memories come back. They never leave, but you carry them in your heart. You aren't involved in conversations on the topic. And we have been talking about this now for a year, and now talking to the audiences who come to the book events. It is also gratifying, though, Bill, because this is an opportunity for the world to get to know someone that I loved very much, and most of us who have lost people who are dear to us welcome the opportunity for other people to learn how wonderful they were. It is also gratifying in that this does tell the story of Doug and me, but we are just one of 60,000 couples who went through this experience. We are emblematic of those other 60,000, as well as the hundreds of thousands where the soldiers and the sailors and the Marines came home damaged in such a way that the rest of their lives and their families' lives were impacted by the events of the 60s.
How did you two connect, Judy and Bonnie? Judy?
Bonnie was a fan of mine. Her sisters encouraged her to read the J.P. Beaumont books, and she did, and she was traveling cross-country. So she'd go into airports, what I call better bus depots everywhere, and pick up copies of my books for cross-country airplane flights. So one day she went in there, picked up the new book, and sat down on the plane to read it, and Beaumont was nowhere to be found because it was the first Joanna Brady book. Eventually, she decided that the author, whoever that person was, must have had a connection to Doug. And so one of her sisters came to a book signing, asked me, "Have you ever been to Bisbee?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Did you know someone named Doug Davis?" And I said, "Of course I knew Doug Davis." That resulted in a phone call the next day where we talked. That resulted in scheduling a one-hour lunch that turned into a four-hour lunch, and now it's an 18-year friendship.
That's wonderful. And have you been to the Vietnam Wall, Bonnie?
Yes, numbers of times.
Uh-huh. And in many ways, this experience, I guess, could you say it's been energizing for you?
It better be because we're on the road.
I mean, you two are on the road a lot.
Yes, we are.
Energizing, but how else would you characterize it?
I would characterize it as gratifying. I would characterize it as healing, and healing not just for myself and Judy and me together, because we both suffered the loss of this same young man, but healing for the people who come to our events and in the letters, emails we're getting from people who've read the book. We are I would almost say deluged, wouldn't you, Judy?
Yes. And
with emails every day from people who have read this book and have found it an inspiration for them to reach out to family and friends that they had been reluctant to contact in the past.
It's been mind-boggling to have those real people who have suddenly, after 50 years, reached out to the family of one of their dead fellow soldiers.
Second watch, a literary thank you note, really, to all the people who served during the Vietnam era. I think that would be a good way to summarize it.
Yes, that is exactly what it is.
Judy Jantz, thank you very much. Bonnie Abney, thank you. We're going to tell folks now about where folks can come out and meet you. You've got quite a few events, and I'm going to let everybody know.
Good, because we don't remember it.
Here you go. J.A. Jantz will be speaking about and signing copies of her new book, Second Watch. That will be this afternoon at 2 at the Green Valley branch of the Pima County Public Library. Then tonight, Judy and Bonnie will be giving a talk, a question and answer, and signing at Barnes & Noble on East Broadway in Tucson. Tomorrow at noon, they'll be at the Oro Valley Public Library. Then at 3 at the Southern Arizona VA Healthcare System on South 6th Avenue. Then tomorrow night, mostly books on East Speedway. Saturday event at noon at Costco on East Grant, and then Sunday at Hastings at noon in Sierra Vista, then 4 p.m. Sunday afternoon, Bisbee, Atalana Books on Main Street.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan Man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of Buckmaster presented by the University of Arizona College of Science, with nearly 7,500 undergraduate and graduate students at the UA College of Science, bringing together globally prominent faculty in disciplines at the core of scientific inquiry and education. Find out more at cos.arizona.edu, UA Science and Innovation, a place of discovery. And one of the places of discovery within the UA College of Science is Biosphere 2 in Oracle, just north of Tucson. Joining me in studio, Dr. Kevin Bonine, Biosphere 2's Director of Education and Outreach. Kevin, good to see you.
Thank you so much.
How important is outreach at the College of Science to your overall mission there?
Well, outreach at the College of Science is one of our primary missions. And I see it as sort of having three important tenets. We have one of the best science programs in the world. So we have fantastic research and faculty, like you mentioned, that are able to share that with the community. The importance of STEM education, that's science, technology, engineering, and math, to our local citizens, future employees. It's important not just if you're going into science, but to being informed citizens. You know, our cars have all the technology, our cell phones, our healthcare choices, all of those things require science-literate citizens. And then thirdly, the economic development opportunities. You need to have the technologies and the spinoffs and the new companies, as well as an educated workforce to be employees at those places.
And when Dr. Hart, the University of Arizona president, was with us on the Buckmaster Show, we talked about how important really not only for the College of Science, but really part of the mission that she sees, Kevin, is outreach. I mean, it's one thing to have a world-class university in the campus environment, but we're lucky here in Tucson to be able to tap into that resource.
That's right. That's extremely important. It doesn't do society and the rest of Arizona much good if all of this stuff stays in the silo on campus. Dr. Hart's Never Settle strategy rests on four pillars of engagement, innovation, partnership, and synergy, and that engagement goes both ways. So engaging the local community with what we do, engaging our students with real-world examples, internships or service learning opportunities or volunteerism, all of that's part of President Hart's Never Settle strategy.
And this Science Cafe has been a big success, and I guess it is emblematic of the College of Science's outreach commitment.
We have a number of wonderful science offerings for the public. We have the very well-received College of Science Lecture Series, which fills Centennial Hall, about 2,500 people.
Yeah, that started out in a real small venue. I remember when the whole series began, and you all didn't really know how many people were going to come. So many people came. It was standing room only, and eventually, as you say now, it's over in Centennial Hall.
That's right. It started at the Center for Creative Photography, and then we had to find a much bigger venue. We've actually had overflow rooms. We also have some smaller offerings. We have currently going a Science Cafe series at Borderlands Brewing Company downtown with some of our best graduate students. We have a series on the senses at Magpies on 4th Avenue. We have a series at Tumamoc Hill, which is right next to A Mountain, just south of St. Mary's Hospital. And we have another series that will be starting up in November, a repeat series at Saddlebrook on the northwest side.
And the full listing is at cos.arizona.edu.
That's right.
One of the crown jewels in the College of Science portfolio is Biosphere 2. And as part of the College of Science's outreach expansion, Biosphere 2 has some really exciting things going on, Kevin Bonine, that will make Biosphere 2 even more accessible to the public.
That's right. Biosphere 2 has been an iconic component of our local region for more than 20 years, and actually today happens to be the 20th anniversary of the end of the first two-year mission of the original eight Biospherians.
I remember that well.
Yeah, and so
I didn't know it was today, but I certainly remember the beginning and the end of the mission.
2 hours and 20 minutes, and that last 20 minutes sounds like they were really ready to get out.
Yeah.
But starting this Saturday, we're going to have five Saturdays in a row with Discovery Nights, with different themes, and because the 20th anniversary is today, our first event will be focused on that original mission and the history. And Jane Pointer, one of the original Biospherians, who's also a very active local community member, will be available to talk about the mission, answer questions, and sign her wonderful book.
This has been priced right, too, for the families.
Indeed. So an opportunity for a lot of family entertainment and science education. The prices for adults are not changed a whole lot, except on a couple of special nights for teachers and for U of A CAT card holders. But all the children get in. 12 and under are free every night, these five Saturdays through the end of October. And we're also giving away an annual pass to each person who comes, so they can come back whenever they want over the next year.
And again, if folks would like more information, I'll give out another website. b2science.org has the complete listing and the different themes that will be coming up on each of those Saturday nights beginning this Saturday night. Now, you got two new specialty tours this fall.
That's right. So the things that visitors are most interested in are the original mission, with those original biospherians. And the second one is the iconic architecture and engineering that went into making this place possible.
Which is certainly so special.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. It's unique.
It's iconic, probably a world landmark. I mean, it's so people see that. They know it all over the world, that image.
It was listed by Time Magazine as one of the 50 wonders of the world. And our two new specialty tours that we're going to roll out this fall, one is going to be focused on that history and the original biospherian mission, and the second one will be focused on the architecture and the engineering.
And for folks who really have kind of lost track of biosphere, maybe they haven't been out there, local people, it really is a great opportunity to see real science in action at the things that University of Arizona College of Science is engaged in.
That's right. The University of Arizona has been managing Biosphere 2 since 2007. We have a lot of wonderful research ongoing both under the glass and outside on the grounds. We have solar installations and water harvesting on the outside, and we're studying the evolution of soil and the fate of water as it moves through the ecosystem on the inside. And all of this is accessible to the public when they come out and visit. So it's much more than a science center. It's a place where you see scientists in action. You get to see the work that they're doing. You get to talk to them. And oftentimes we have a lot of citizen science opportunities where people can actually collect data and be a part of the research that we're doing.
Volunteers really move this community. They keep this community going and making it a great place for all of us. Are volunteers welcome at Biosphere 2?
Volunteers are very much welcome. When Columbia University was managing Biosphere 2 a decade ago, they had a volunteer program, and we're in the process of resurrecting a volunteer program and reaching out to the community to bring folks in to help share the science and the outreach that is possible there. We're always looking for volunteers for all sorts of things that we do. The coming five Saturday nights, we also have volunteer opportunities on a short-term basis. But we'd love folks that come back on a very regular basis every week to help out. And they can specialize in what they're trained in. There's a lot of wonderful folks with a lot of expertise who might be looking for opportunities to share that.
We're speaking with Dr. Kevin Bonine, Biosphere 2's Director of Education and Outreach. We've been talking about starting Saturday night for five straight Saturdays. Really going to be expanded hours, a lot of fun for the whole family. And, of course, for folks that are, you know, learning is something, as you know, Dr. Bonine, it never ends. And UA Outreach College in the spring and summer has been offering some non-credit courses associated with Biosphere 2.
That's right. The Outreach College has offered a wonderful diversity of courses in a number of topics, and Biosphere 2 is linking up with various partners to offer courses in the spring and summer. Some are focused on solar energy, some on water harvesting, some on what we call ecosystem services. These are the things that nature provides us that we take for granted, like making oxygen, pollinating flowers, those sorts of things. Some of the stuff that the Biosphere 2 original mission was focused on trying to replicate.
And summer science academy is very popular with middle and high school students.
That's right. We're piloting this year a residential science academy for middle school and high school students. It's a complement to the Fusion Science Camp that Flandreau Science Center on campus holds, and we're going to roll that out in June of next year.
Talk to me a little bit about how you got involved in Biosphere 2, your own personal experience.
That's a great question. So I grew up in Tucson. I was an undergraduate at the University of Arizona. I visited Biosphere 2 when I was younger, and then as I started teaching at the university in 2002, I started taking classes out there for the educational opportunities. I'm an ecologist and a herpetologist interested in reptiles and amphibians, and one of the best tools I find in teaching is experiential opportunities outside the classroom for students, and Biosphere 2 is a perfect place for that.
And it's very fascinating that here we are in the desert, Biosphere 2 in Oracle, yet research that's going on with the B2 Ocean project really can tell us a lot about climate change and our oceans.
That's right. We've learned a lot using the ocean at Biosphere 2. In the original mission, when oxygen levels went down and carbon dioxide levels went up, we witnessed the acidification of the ocean and the effect on the corals in that ocean, and we can extrapolate that to the rest of the world. We're currently in the process of revamping our ocean to mimic the northern Gulf of California and link it more intimately to the Sonoran Desert region. There's, you know, energy and nutrient exchange that happens all the time, and we want to tell that story.
That must be amazing to try to even, you're trying to replicate that. Just putting something like that together must be, an amazing experience.
Well, it's quite an undertaking. And so we're in the process of thinking about what the best ideas are moving forward and how we can get funding to support those ideas.
Okay, I'm going to wrap it up here, but I want to, again, give out a couple of websites, b2science.org for Biosphere 2 and the Discovery Nights, that five-night Saturday series. That's probably the best place to go for that, b2science.org. And we also talked about the College of Science website. That's cos.arizona.edu. I'm really excited about this series presented by the College of Science because we have these incredible superstars of science that I call them, and we're going to meet a lot of these people over the coming months here on the Buckmaster Show. It's a great resource for the University of Arizona and the whole outreach program.
Well, thank you very much. We look forward to sharing our expertise.
Thank you very much. That's Dr. Kevin Bonine, Biosphere 2's Director of Education and Outreach. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your residential and commercial water needs. Thank you to Culligan. All of our in-studio guests are given a nice chilled bottle of Culligan, and all the employees here at KVOI, they appreciate the bottles of Culligan as well. So thanks again, Culligan, for your support of the Buckmaster Show. Coming up this afternoon from 3 to 5, he's the Dean of Local Talk. It's the John C. Scott Show right here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Then tomorrow morning, Friday, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. Then, of course, 12:04 tomorrow, it's our Friday Focus interview. Our newsmaker will be TUSD Governing Board Member Cam Juarez. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.